All right. Hello, everybody. It is good to see everyone's masked faces. I'm assuming you're smiling at me, but let's just go ahead and assume that. How is everybody doing? Yeah? I got some enthusiasm and I got some like not so enthusiasm, which I feel like is very real, and it's okay if you're at that spot. I hope that you guys are ready to hear what the Lord has to speak to us tonight. I am excited. As I've been studying and reading, I feel like the Lord has some exciting things to say. But you may be coming tonight feeling a little burdened. Maybe you're just really warm because it is warm in here, and you might be thinking, I don't got a lot to give, or maybe you have a screaming child next to you and you're just trying to wrangle them. So before we get started, I just want to pray, and I think that it'll be really helpful if we can just ready our hearts to hear what the Lord has to say. So pray with me. Father, I thank you that we are able to come to you through your Son, who has made a way and made it possible for us to approach you. I thank you for your Spirit that allows us to receive what you have to say. I pray that tonight we can take a big, deep breath of your presence. We can hear what you have to say. Father, I ask that your words would sink deep into our hearts, that we are encouraged, perhaps challenged, and most importantly, we know more who you are, and we are drawn closer to you and your presence. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So if we haven't met yet, my name is Maddie, and I'm really happy that you are here tonight. And as you may or may not know, we have been going through the book of Matthew for a very long time, and we will continue to be going through the book of Matthew for a very long time, because we always want to be consuming God's word, right? So as you may or may not know, we are at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapters 5-7, and they begin with Jesus going onto a mountain, and he just starts preaching. And we've been studying this Sermon on the Mount piece by piece as we've made our way through Matthew. So we have learned about the Beatitudes. We have learned, which is, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, all of those things. We've learned about how to be a disciple, like you are the salt and the light of the earth. We have learned about murder and anger, adultery and lust. We have learned about how to deal with your enemies. We've studied giving and what it looks like to give and pray in secret. We've read the Lord's Prayer. We've examined anxiety and worry. We've also looked at judging others and what our own prayer life looks like. We've studied the Golden Rule, and then last week, Michael brought us through identifying false teachers as seen by their fruit. So all of these passages, two chapters worth of these little passages, parables, stories of Jesus, culminates into our passage tonight, which is Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29. So turn there right now, and we're going to read it together. All right, starting in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. It was a great fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So for many people, this was the first time they had heard Jesus teach. And they were just blown away. They were thinking, this guy's different. Not only is he teaching these words that perhaps are new to us, but he's teaching with authority. And this is something that we haven't experienced yet, a man teaching with authority. And so when we think of the culmination of this passage, it's important to keep in mind when it starts with, therefore, you have to think, based off of the last two chapters of everything I've said, therefore, this is your response, is these two images that we have. And we have someone who hears the word and does it, and we have someone who hears the word and does not do it. So what we're going to look at tonight is the two images of someone who hears the word and does it, which we would describe as the wise man. Someone who hears the word and does not do it, who we would describe as the foolish man. And if there's one thing I want you guys to get away from tonight, my encouragement is keep going, okay? So we're going to dive in. We have the man who built his house upon the rock. This could be, if you think about it, kind of the storm that's described here that comes on the house that is built on the rock. There's rain coming from above. There's floodwaters coming from below. The floodwaters is going to be because this is a dry climate. And so flash flood situation, the ground isn't able to absorb the water. So it's kind of like suddenly as the water is coming from below, it's rising from above as well, like a flash flood sort of situation. Then the wind is causing the rain to come on either side. So you can think about it. The storm is hitting every area of this house. There's not one part of this house that isn't being attacked, if you will, by the rain. But it stands. It does not fall. And we can see that the reason for that is because not only is the man hearing the word, but he's doing the word. The comparison, of course, is the loose foundation, one made of sand, perhaps an empty profession of Christ, someone who is like, yes, I believe in God, but where's the fruit of that labor? So this wise man who built his house on the rock, a way I heard it described of the rock, is the rock of true discipleship or genuine subjection to Christ. So you can think about this man as a true disciple, someone who has done the work, if you will. The fruit has been produced. This kind of reminds me of James 1:22, which also describes someone who hears the word and forgets. Is like a man who sees his reflection and then instantly forgets of what his reflection was. So these two images actually remind me of another passage in scripture, which is Psalm 1. So if you will, please turn there with me. Also in Psalm 1, we have a comparison of a wise man and a foolish man. So we're going to read the whole psalm. It's only 6 verses. Don't worry. Beginning in verse 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf, it does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Now the wicked man, they are not so. They are like chaff, and chaff is going to be like the shelling of a seed or like wheat or something. So it's kind of like frail, and it would just be like blown away in the wind. That's what this image is here. The chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked, they're not going to stand in judgment. And the sinners, they're not handling it in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So the comparison here that we see, the wise man, they're not standing in the way of the presence of the wicked. They're not even anywhere near it. The wicked are doing their own thing. They're like, nope, not even going to be in the presence of that. They're not standing in the way or in the direction that sinners are going. Sinners are on the path. They're saying, I'm not even going to be in that area. They delight and meditate on God's word day and night. The wise man is firmly planted in the living water of Christ. We have a beautiful image of a tree. Whenever I read this, I just think of a rushing river, fresh water, and a tree that whose roots are very, very deep. And the reason why they're so deep is because they're just drinking from that living water. So they're growing, they're producing fruit, and they prosper. The wise man prospers when he walks in the way of the Lord. Where the foolish man, he is weak, He is frail, like chaff. He is easily tossed to and fro by the wind of changing ideals. He crumbles in judgment because he's guilty, and he cannot stand among the righteous. He's going to be sticking out like a sore thumb. So how do we build a house upon the rock? Well, the rock is establishing a firm foundation of our faith. It is meditating on and delighting in God's word every day so that we can obey him. So I want to do a little bit of compare and contrast here. The foolish man, instead of being like this, let's be like the wise man instead, okay? So instead of hiding from and avoiding the difficulties in your life, surrender your burdens to God. Take up his light and easy yoke. Instead of continuing in sinful disobedience to God, repent from your sins and confess your sins to one another. You will be healed. Instead of being formed to the things of this world, be transformed by renewing your mind. Instead of having a relationship with God that lacks depth, sink your roots deep into his presence. Instead of feeling distant from God, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, there's not a lot more to this than what I've already said. I think, as you're probably hearing this, you're thinking, okay, yeah, got it. Don't be foolish. No one wakes up every day thinking, I think I want to be a fool today. They wake up thinking, I want to pursue the wise path. I want to pursue the way and walk in the ways and walk in the things that the Lord has for me. But it has been a difficult year, and I don't need to tell you that. And you could probably say, yeah, but also this is going on. You could probably give me 2, 3, 4 things as to what makes the last 7 months even more difficult than what we can see on the surface. So this is, again, my encouragement to you. Keep going. I don't want you to think there's no way that I can pursue this wise path. So my encouragement is make your roots deep. Hear what the Lord has to say and do it. Establish the firm foundation. Don't grow weary in doing good. It is possible through God. Mark Jones, in a book about the attributes of God, the quote will be up there. I highly encourage you to read it. Said this as he was thinking about Romans 8:31. If God is for us, all of God, not part of God, if he is for us, the infinite, eternal, unchangeable God, who is goodness and wisdom himself, is on our side. So for all of the moments that you think, I can't do this, this is really hard. Showing up to church is hard. You know what's easier than showing up to church? Not showing up to church. It's a lot easier to let these days and these weeks and these months go by. And I feel it too. I feel the weariness of the pursuit of faith, the pursuit of Christ. And it's not like you're ready to think, oh, I'm just going to throw in the towel. Maybe you're there, but maybe you're not. You're like, yeah, no, I'm committed to this. I love the Lord. I want to keep following him. But it's difficult. So that's where I come right back to my final encouragement is keep going. Don't give up. Fight the good fight. Establish the firm foundation, because we are feeling the waters and the storm hitting us in every direction. We want to be the people that have that firm foundation. So to close, I just want to spend some time in prayer. So if you could all close your eyes, I just have some different things that I want you to pray. This is going to be between you and the Lord. But if you do find that there are some things that come out of this encouragement, perhaps you do want to grab someone and talk through it later. But we're just going to spend some time between you and the Lord. So the first question I want you to ponder and pray is, what is making your heart heavy and your shoulders feel tense? What are you stressed out about? Bring your burdens to the Lord. So just take a few minutes. as you are laying down those burdens, pick up his peace instead. Pick up his light yoke. Next, is there any sin in your life that you need to confess to the Lord? Where do you need to repent, change your direction, and turn back towards him? Pray for broken relationships. This could be with your friends, between parents and children, husband and wife, or between simply acquaintances who disagree with one another. Pray for unity in Christ. Pray against fear. Fear of the future, fear of the unknown. Pray that we would find comfort in God's sovereign knowledge and control. Pray for deeper intimacy with the Lord, that we can be people who meditate on God's word day and night and act on the Holy Spirit's promptings on our lives. Father, we thank you for the goodness and the love that you offer us. But I ask that you would remind us of that goodness and that love when right now our circumstances are clouding our reality. Father, I ask that your truth and your peace would come down onto us and would supersede the questions and the doubts and the fears that we have. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with our culture. We trust you with our health. We know that none of this surprises you. So we take comfort knowing that you are so much bigger than we could imagine. Your plan for our own lives and for our church is good. And we trust that, Father. And we ask that we would continue to walk in what you have set before us, that our foundation would be firm. And as the winds come, Father, we find that peace and that rescue in who you are.